I was blessed with the worship this morning, and I trust as we were worshiping God that we were thinking about the words that we were singing. Christ is mine forevermore. Is Christ precious to us this morning? Like Seth shared, the persecuted church, that the Christ is what they have. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of trials, they have nothing else to lean on but Jesus Christ. And I pray that that will be our testimony as well this morning, that Christ is mine forevermore. And also, precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender everything to Him. Are we willing to surrender everything to the Lord Jesus Christ? And then, behold our God. May we behold Him this morning, our God, the one that has died for us, the one that gave His life so that we can have life, the one that loved us so much that He gave His life for us. Then want to recap just briefly on my last message, which was walking in the light. I feel like the message this morning sort of ties into that. The scripture that I read was 1 John 1, and I'm just going to pick a couple of verses out. But it's 1 John 1, 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. What a promise this morning. If we walk in the light, as Jesus Christ is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. And then John 8:12, and Jesus spoke unto them again, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus Christ is that light. And as we walk in Him, we shall not walk in darkness, but we shall walk in the light, because Jesus is the light. Praise God this morning. So this morning I want to look at Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for our light, for your light has come. May we arise and shine because of the light of Jesus Christ shining through us. But before we look at Isaiah 60, let's look at Isaiah 59 as a backdrop or a contrast to chapter 60. So Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated yourself from you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speaketh lies. They conceive mischief and bringeth forth iniquity. They hatch crocodile eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth their eggs dies, and he that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are the works of iniquity, the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destructions are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, that there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, whosoever goings therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for the light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as we have no eyes. We stumble at noonday as the night, and as desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn like those like doves. We look for judgment, and there is none. For salvation, but is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and for our iniquities we know them. in transgression and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaketh oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice stands afar off. For truth is falling in the streets, and equity cannot enter. Yet truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered why there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a helmet, as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for a clothing, and clad with zeal as a cloak. But even there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him. God still brought salvation to him. According to the deeds, according he will repay. Fury upon his adversaries, recompense for his enemies. To the islands he will recompense, he will repay recompense. So that shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, from the going, from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and them that turn from transgression to Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words that I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of thy mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, says the Lord, from henceforth forevermore. Sounds pretty depressing, doesn't it? I mean, the things that have gone south. But then chapter 60 says, arise, shine. For the light is come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. I believe this is a prophecy of Israel becoming a nation, but not just that. I believe it's also for the church. To arise and shine. Again, Isaiah 60 verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Jesus, like I said before, Jesus is that light, and Jesus has come, and his glory is upon you, it's upon us. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Hallelujah. Matthew 4:16 says, and the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the regions and shadow of death, light has sprung. Light has sprung. For those that sat in darkness, have to think of, like between the Old and the New Testament, it says about a 400-year span, which they call the 400-year span of darkness, which there was basically not a voice, no prophet that spoke for that span of time. And it's saying in Matthew 4:16 again, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those that sat in the regions and shadow of death, light has dawned. So, then verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Some of this I'm reading in the New King James, in case it doesn't quite match up with the King James Version. But the Gentiles shall come to your light. Just as we're looking at the book of Acts in our Wednesday evening Bible study, it's very clear on that the word of God is also for the Gentiles, that many Gentiles came to the light and became born again through the preaching of the word, especially through the Apostle Paul. Verse 4, lift up your eyes all around and see, they are gathered together, they shall come to you, your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side, a haven of rest for those that come to the light. Verse 5, and they shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the seas will be turned to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles will come to you. It's interesting, there's a footnote here in on that verse. It said, prior to well into the 20th century, scholars could only speculate on what Isaiah might have meant here by the abundance of the wealth of the Dead Sea that would one day be turned over to Jerusalem. Of course, the Dead Sea, which for ages was considered only a place of death and desolation, was ruled out as a possible meaning. Then certainly it was discovered that the waters of the Dead Sea contained important chemicals. In AD 1935, C.T.B. Davis wrote, one can almost stagger at the computed wealth of the chemical salt of the Dead Sea. It is estimated for the potential value of the chemicals that are in it, of its waters, are four times the wealth of the United States. Isaiah himself did not know this, but the God who caused the Dead Sea to play a part in his program in the last days knew all about it and led the prophet to prophesy here on this verse. The value of the Dead Sea. I mean, you look at, there's not much life that flows out of there, but what its waters contain. In verse 6, the multitudes of camels will cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephon, all those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. So I was curious who these people were. Genesis 25, 1 to 6, which there would be a direct descendants of Abraham. So Genesis 25. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bare to him Zimran, Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbah, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing these correctly or not, but anyhow. So we see that, and the sons of Midian was Ephah, which it talks about that Midian and Ephah and all of those of Sheba shall come. So it's the children that Abraham sent off to the east, because Isaac was the seed that God chose to build his name. By saying that in the last times, that Abraham's descendant from those children will also come. And the queen of Sheba, which they say Sheba is in Yemen, which when we were in Greece, David from Yemen was saying that his family lineage is from the Queen of Sheba. So it's just interesting that, which right now Yemen is in, despises Israel and are bent on their destruction. But it's saying that even those from Sheba shall come. And they shall bring gold and incense, they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. In verse 7, the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered unto you, the rams of, how do you pronounce that? I won't try. Shall minister to you, and they shall ascend with acceptance of my altar, and they shall glorify the name of my, that glorify the house of my glory. With those will be the sons of Ishmael, which I know Emmanuel Esch has mentioned a couple times when he was here from I-58, that many of the sons of Ishmael are coming to the Lord because God's blessings were also on Ishmael as well. That in the times with the refugee crisis and they're migrating to Europe, that many of them are coming to Jesus Christ. Verse 8, Who are those that fly like a cloud that and like doves to their roots? Surely the coastland shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish shall come first, to bring your sons from afar, the silver, the gold with them, in the name of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. And some Bible scholars will place Tarshish in southern Spain. And it said, they shall bring their gold and silver in the name of the Lord our God, your God. Verse 10, the sons of foreigners shall build up your walls, and their kings shall minister to you. For my wrath I struck you, but in my favor I have had mercy on you. Saying the foreigners shall secure and build the walls of Israel, of Jerusalem. Therefore your gates shall be open continuously. They shall not be shut day or night, that men will bring you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. It's just a picture of peace. And then verse 12 to the end. For nations and kingdoms shall serve, which will not serve you shall perish, and these nations shall be utterly ruined. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you, the cypress, the pine, the box tree together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. Now I will make the place of my feet glorious. And the sons of those that afflicted you shall come bowing to you, and all those who despise you shall fall prostrate at the soles of your feet. And they shall call you the city of the Lord, Zion, the Holy One of Israel. Also, just an illustration, Revelation says that every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus at some point. Verse 15, whereas you have forsaken and hated so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence and joy to many generations. You shall drink the milk of the Gentiles, the milk of the breast of the kings, and you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, I will bring silver. Instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron. I will make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. One shall no longer to be heard in your land, neither wasting nor destruction within your borders. But you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall no longer be your day, light by day, nor the brightness of the moon shall give you light. But the Lord shall give you everlasting light, and your God your glory. The sun shall no longer go down, neither the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be the everlasting light. The days of your mourning shall be ended, and your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the works of my hand, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, a small one a strong nation, and I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Amen. So let's look at Revelation 21. Verses 22. And I'll read chapter 22, 1 to 5. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of the Lord shall lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it, the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. The gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. For they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, nor maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22, verse 1. And it showed me a pure river of waters of life, water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the midst of the streets of it, and either side of the river. There was a tree of life which bare the 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. It sounds very, very familiar, doesn't it? It's what I read in Isaiah 60. And moving forward in in Revelation, when Jesus Christ is, when we will be with him, there'll be no need for the gates to be closed for night, because it's going to be day all the time, and there's going to be no more curse. The Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Thank you. Isaiah 50, verse 1 to 4. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call the heavens from above and the earth, that they may judge his people. Verse 2 is, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. God will shine forth. Then Isaiah 61, 1 to 4. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God, let the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for ye shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations of the earth, Selah. Verse 1, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. That sounds like a good thing, right? That God's face would shine upon us. Psalms 91, 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. So just a plea of the writer of the psalm is for God to shine forth. Even though he is the one that will revenge, but for him to shine forth. Then Psalms 119, 135, make your face shine upon your servants and teach me your statute. Make your face to shine upon us and teach us your statutes. Matthew 5, 13 and 14. Matthew 2, verse 16. Ye are the sight of the earth, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let the light of Jesus Christ shine forth, that people may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not about bringing glory to ourselves, but it's to glorify our Father in heaven. Matthew 13, 43, then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their God. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Which the backdrop is that it's casting the evil away. Then the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their God. Second Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handing the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves in every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even as the gospel is revealed, it is revealed to them who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine on them. For we don't preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For it is God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and has shone in our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of the face of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 12 to 16. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do for your good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. That we may be blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom we shine as lights in the world. So we are the light to the world. We are a city on a hilltop that cannot be hid. If we have given our hearts and life to Jesus Christ, if we have surrendered, like we sung about this morning, we have surrendered everything to Him. If Christ is mine forevermore, then we have that light that the world needs. The light The city that's set on a hilltop cannot be hid. If we are to shine, we need to be connected. Like Aaron Hurst with the extension cord plugged into the outlet. As long as that extension cord was not plugged into the outlet, the light did not shine. Even though you had the light bulb, the one that gives light. But if it was not connected, that light bulb was useless. So even though we are the lights to the world, but if we're not connected to the source, we are not a light. Light bulbs don't shine by themselves. So these light bulbs or lights, if they're not connected to the source, you can turn the switch on, you can ask them to shine, whatever you want to, and they will not shine if they're not connected to the source. There's a quote by Arthur W. Pink on the fourfolds of salvation. What is a young Christian to do in order for deliverance from indwelling sin? It is true that we are still in this world, but we are not of it. John 17, 14. It is true that we focus to associate with godless people, but this is ordained of God in order that we may be, that we may let our light shine before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, 16. There is a wide difference between associating with sinners as we go about our daily tasks and making them our intimate companions and friends. Only as we feed upon the Word can we grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Only as we starve the old nature can we expect deliverance from its power and pollution. Then we can earnestly heed the exhortation, "Put ye off concerning the former conversation, behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which is after God, that is created in righteousness and true holiness." Only if we starve the old nature can we expect deliverance from its power and its pollution. What we feed thrives. If we feed on the Word of God, if we feed on those things that are pure, those things that are holy, then that thrives. But if we feed on the world, and the deceitfulness thereof, the gnat thrives. Ever think of a vicious animal, as you kept throwing food to him, that animal thrived and was continued to be vicious. But as you withhold food, the animal slowly but surely starved and was no longer a threat to people that came near. And likewise, as we continue, whatever we feed, it's going to thrive. It's like one man once said, what's most important, Bible reading or prayer? And the answer came back to him, what's most important, breathing in or breathing out? So both are vitally important. Now, I mentioned this last time as well, is sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than what you pay, by Adrian Rogers. So if you are this morning still feeding the flesh, still listening to the music that feed the flesh, still viewing YouTube or whatever it may be, porn or whatever it may be that feed the flesh, the call this morning is to repent. Turn around, make a 180, and look to Jesus Christ, and to walk in the light. If we walk in the light, we have nothing to hide. If we walk in the darkness, it's because we have things to hide. Because the things of the darkness sin thrives in darkness. But as we come to the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. The people we are close with does make a difference, either good or evil. The people we associate with, it said that we are to be a light to the world. We ought to be an influence to the world. But it's the difference between being a light and an influence versus being intimate relationship with the world. There's a big difference. Because we will become who we hang out with. Second Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and a day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So today is the day of salvation. And I had mentioned this before already as well, as John 3, which I'm just going to go there. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So if we believe on Jesus, we are not condemned. But if we don't believe, we are condemned, according to the Word of God. And this is the condemnation: the light is come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that hateth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may become manifest that they are wrought in God. May we use that as a touchstone. When we are out there, do we tend to come to the light? Do we tend to have nothing to hide? It says here, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. There's nothing to hide. No secrets. Everything is manifest. Everything is wide open as we come to the light. But it says, but everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So if we're bent of doing the opposite, we shy away from the light. We resist the light, because if we come to the light, our deeds will be made known. Psalms 139, 11 and 12. If I say, surely darkness shall fall on me, even night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness is as light. Darkness and the light are both alight to you. So regardless if we walk in the light or we tend to do things in darkness, in God's eyes, it doesn't make it easier or harder for him to see. Because it says here in chapter 139, verse 12, indeed the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both a light to God, to you. We are to let our light shine. We can't make them shine. However, we can let them shine through Christ. Arise and shine. I want to end with number 624. Moses was instructed to pray this blessing over Aaron and over the children of Israel. Number 6:24-27. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We all want that blessing, right? We all want God's blessing upon our lives.